Before we get started, I've got to tell you about three great companies. PickClick is the first. It's a one-person startup from my friend Ryan in San Diego. PickClick gives you a visual way to search eBay, Etsy, and other sites. Ryan is already doing 1 million product sales per month on PickClick.com. Not hits, but sales. Go to PICCLICK.com to see how he's doing it. 99 Designs, it's the largest crowdsourced marketplace for graphic design. When I used them, I wrote a description of the design I needed and how much I wanted to pay. I got a bunch of designs back. I gave each designer feedback. I picked the one I liked best, and that's the only one that I paid for. Try them for logo design. If you need a blog designed, use them. If you need app icons, use them. There's so many different reasons why you might want to use them. Check out 99 Designs, and you'll see why so many past Mixergy guests have used 99designs.com. And Grasshopper. I've had them now as my longest sponsor for a reason. Not only does my audience love them, but you might have heard several guests here on Mixergy say that they use grasshopper.com as a result of these messages, and they love it. It's the virtual phone system that entrepreneurs like me love because it offers us multiple extensions, music on hold, call forwarding. It gives an impression of having a big professional organization, but also caters to your need to travel and to be flexible. Check out grasshopper.com. Here's the program. Hey everyone, I'm Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart. Today's guest is Noah Merritt, founder of Clicky, which offers real-time web analytics. I use Clicky on all of my websites, so I emailed the company to find out more about them, and that's how Noah and I met a few months ago. Here's what I found out in my conversations with him in research for this interview. Even though he has competitors like Google, Clicky is both bootstrapped and profitable. The company tracks 100 million page views and is used by over 250,000 websites. Noah, welcome to Mixergy.
Hi, thanks, Andrew. Glad to be here.
I say 250,000 websites use you. You explained earlier that it's more than 250,000. Can you talk about the difference between the 250,000 that I gave and the 750,000 number that we could have used? I want to give people a sense of how big this site is, how big you guys are.
Okay, well, the 250,000 sites that you mentioned is directly tracked by our service, but we also have another revenue stream that we created several years ago called a white label service, and it allows other organizations like, for example, maybe an SEO firm or, you know, a web design firm, or a lot of web services too, that would like to offer analytics to their within their environment, to their clientele. So we actually have quite a few partners, a couple hundred white label subscribers, and a big partner called webs.com, which is a website building tool online. We track with them probably like another 500,000 sites. So,
okay. So here's, So for example, I go to webs, webs.com. I create a website for myself and I add analytics to it. It's Clicky that's really powering those analytics, even though I may not understand that it's Clicky that's powering it up. I want to tell people why I love Clicky, and then I want to tell them what they could expect to get out of this interview. The reason I like it is, it's real-time analytics, unlike Google Analytics. It's the analytics and the information that I need, so I find out where you guys are coming to my site from. I find out where you guys are going afterwards, and I can adjust in real time. Now, I try not to get too carried away with Clicky because, Noah, you guys give me so much freaking data. It's so addictive that I actually had to put a block on my website, on my computer, not to keep going over to your website. And I am a paid user, so I love it, and I pay for it because it's so useful.
Thank you.
So let's talk to people about what they're going to get out of this interview. First of all, they're going to get to hear an incredible story, I believe, about a guy who bootstrapped a company. So they're going to find out how to build a product with no outside funding. They're going to find out how to compete against a giant like Google. You know how most companies, when they try to build a company, when they try to launch, others will say, well, what happens if Google gets in your market? But we're going to find out how Noah handled it. And we're going to find out about marketing. The reason I wanted to find out about the white label product isn't just to explain to people how big you are, but to also explain to them that you're marketing in new ways. It's hard to market a product that's aimed at business people because there isn't the viral component, there isn't the conversation that happens in the consumer world, so we're gonna learn all that. Why don't I start off with this? How profitable is the company?
Our margins are probably around 60%.
60% margins?
Yeah, I mean, we're just a software as a service business. A lot of the processes that you would find in a brick and mortar store are completely automated. People finding us is pretty much automated. We don't spend anything on marketing, honestly. People go to our website, they register their domain, and we give them a snippet of tracking code that they include in the footer of their website, and it tracks every page. And it's as simple as that. Often we won't. We're open to talking to anybody through email, Twitter, our blog. We're completely available, but it's not necessary in most cases because people can set up Clicky in like 5 minutes. So.
I know you guys are a young company. Have you exceeded $1 million in profits yet, a year?
Actually, we're just about hitting that threshold. Next year completely will supersede a gross revenue of $1 million, but right now we're almost there. So
Can we say last year was $500,000 in revenue?
yeah, we can definitely say that.
Okay, all right. And then that's 60% margins on the $500,000. Which brings us to what are we saying here? Profit 60 to 30 30 $300,000 in profit.
Well, 60% of our gross revenue is profit, I would say.
Okay,
Yeah.
so that comes out to, am I doing the math right, guys? The $300,000 profit on $500,000 in revenue.
Okay.
Okay, and
Gotcha.
that and you guys, you said that you did more than that, so it's more than 300,000.
Yeah, it's a good
Okay.
business to be in.
It's a great business to be in if you could do it right. So let's talk about how we got here. What'd you do before you launched Clicky?
Good question. I actually was involved in another startup and just basically had an idea with a friend, and we launched this company. It's called nowtowns.com. If you get a chance, you can probably check it out. I believe it's still up and running. It's actually pretty interesting concept. Back in 04, we launched it, and that was a local, I guess you could say, search engine based for particular city we launched in, Corvallis, Oregon. It's a really small city, but it's got Oregon State University. The idea behind Nowtowns was that we wanted to make all like local business information available to people, and not just like information that you would find in the Yellow Pages or on the business's website. We actually wanted to go into the business and with our team and categorize like their inventory, make it fully searchable. So for a restaurant, this was particularly cool because we would go into pretty much majority of the restaurants in Corvallis, and during breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we would take photographs of all the menu items that would come out that people would order. So we basically amassed good-looking pictures of pretty much every menu item in Corvallis, and it was all searchable. So we would enter in the prices, the sizes, all the extra ingredients that they came with. So you could type in bacon burger in Corvallis, Oregon, and we'd return search results of all the different bacon burgers. You could see them and compare them side by side. If you wanted to check out the establishment, say you'd never been there before, you can easily go and see the atmosphere and see what people are saying about it. It was like completely in depth, and still no one's ever tackled it, and pretty much probably because of the work that's involved in doing so. So that's one of the reasons our that business failed, was because it was too much work for us to do, and we relied on the business owners to update it themselves, and most of them did not do that. They just, business owners, they're just too busy, whatever. They don't see the value in it a lot of the times. So that one failed a couple years later, so we cut our losses there, which was a good thing. From that was born like the whole Clicky concept, because when we originally had our Nowtowns website, we wanted to see when people were logging into our site, how they were using these different features that we were launching with Nowtowns. And we wanted visitor details on each visitor that was coming in, not just like general tables and stuff. And so we kind of built like this prototype inside. of Nowtowns. And once we decided to call Nowtowns quits, we were trying to figure out what to do. And we really liked Clicky and thought it'd be useful for a lot of other websites. And real-time analysis hadn't really come along yet. In 2006, there wasn't a lot going on with that. So we thought we could do it way better. We didn't like any of the other analysis tools out there. And so it was a pretty simple decision. It was like, I don't know, maybe like a 5-minute conversation. It was like, once the idea came, we were like, yeah, let's launch Clicky. And what I mean by our conversation, my business partner and I, Sean Hammonds is my business partner. He's the developer for Clicky. He's developed it completely from scratch. So
Sean's an animal. Sean's the guy who, if you do research on Clicky and you look at TechCrunch, in the comments, Sean's the guy who's responding to even the crazy people, who is outspoken. Yeah. He's the one who apparently got drunk on caffeine or got, buzzed on caffeine and started emailing Michael Arrington taunts about why Michael Arrington isn't covering you guys. Guy's an animal. Yeah. I don't even know much about him, but I love him already.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He is the manimal. He definitely is cool.
So did you and Sean launch Nowtowns together?
Actually, it was my friend Luke and I. We launched it, and we found Sean through a friend of a friend type situation. And Sean was just beginning in programming. He had done a couple like websites, but we looked at his code, and it was really clean. And we thought, hey, we don't know that much ourselves, but I think we could work together and, you know, possibly build a product. And so, you know, we hired him on. He left Portland with his, which he had, has his girlfriend. He left his girlfriend. Well, I mean, he's still with her as his girlfriend, but he moved down to Corvallis, got in a year-long apartment lease. You know, we're paying him maybe like $1,500 a month. I can't remember. It wasn't that much money at all. And he, you know, had a small stake in, very small stake in Nowtowns. And he took all these risks. He left his nice job at Fred Meyer. Even though he didn't like working there, he was getting paid. I think it was like $18 an hour. And so he took these huge risks, came down, and just worked on Nowtowns with us for like 3 years. And once we decided to call it quits, I mean, the next logical step was to start another venture, try and make it work.
What specifically was missing in other analytics packages that you guys had to go and create your own for Nowtown?
Very, very good question. Just the amount of detail that we wanted, on a per visitor basis is what I'm trying to say.
Can you give an example of a piece of information that you wanted and how would have helped your business at Nowtowns to have it?
Oh, completely. You know, off the top of my head, you know, let's say we launched a new feature that allowed people to follow businesses on Nowtowns. Or subscribe to that business, you know, any updates that happen to that business, whether we change the menu, whether they have a special promotion going on, or, you know, that person, say they subscribe to that business, they want to know what's going on. We would like to know, you know, how people are responding to that new feature we just launched. And so we decided to just build, you know, our own internal thing, cause so we could, you know, track, you know, what people were searching for on Nowtowns. Because I mean, we're basically a search engine, so we needed to know how people were using it in every possible way. And so we just had to kind of custom tailor a solution to Nowtowns, and it was kind of the perfect environment to sprout the concept.
Was the idea from the beginning that you would do it for yourself so that maybe in the future you can build a separate business out of it?
No, not at all.
We need this for ourselves.
Right.
And if you had real-time data, how would your business change back then? How would Nowtowns be different with that?
I mean, we were actually hitting the streets. I mean, we were on the pavement day to day, talking to lots of business owners every day. People who are using our site every day. I mean, we're in a small town. You have like 50,000 people in Corvallis. And so everybody, you know, we kind of knows what's going on. And so we wanted to track that. And so it was really a good environment to know what people are doing. So
how long did you spend building it just for yourselves before you released it?
Are you talking about Clicky?
Clicky, yes.
Building it for ourselves. Well, we had, you know, that initial like product that wasn't much. I mean, it was just kind of a tool to help us. It wasn't really something that other websites could really use at that moment. So we basically had to, you know, pull it out of NowTowns and then turn it into some type of like beta product that people would actually want to use in a beta situation. And Sean did that in probably a couple months. So
a couple of months of taking it out of NowTowns and making it into its own separate product.
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe 2 or 3 months.
What did that initial version look like? The one that was done at the end of 2 months?
Oh, geez. It's hard to describe. I mean, that was 3.5 years ago. You might be able to check the Wayback Machine to see how crappy our website was. But as far as like the tool itself, we were working on a real-time feed of like people's click information. So, you know, somebody clicked. We wanted to create that spy capability, is what we call it now.
The spy capability is the one that lets me go in and see who's on my website right now and what part of the world they're on and what page they're on.
Completely, yeah. And you
so
know
that was in version one. What else was in version one?
Oh, just your basic. It was just really, really basic analytics information. There wasn't any tools to like do that much analysis. Maybe a couple filters, like filter by country, maybe, or something. I don't know.
I see. There so were... people could see how many people were on their website right now, where in the world those people were, and where on the website those people were. They yep. could see. How many people were on the site yesterday and the day before, and there was a little bit of filtering.
That's pretty much it, as far as I can remember.
How did you know that that was enough to launch with?
See, I don't even know if we launched with a spy yet, because we kind of launched unofficially into beta. We didn't mean to. We leaked our URL. We're trying to get beta testers, you know, talking to people, but we leaked our URL to Emily Chang over at eHub. She had actually like a 10,000 feed burner subscriber list. And so like overnight, woke up in the morning and like we had like 500 new accounts or something. And then like within like 30 minutes later, our server crashed and NowTowns was down, Clicky was down for like 2 days. Because we tried to switch over to DreamHost and that didn't work in that environment, and so we had to switch it. It was just running on a server initially in like some guy's apartment on the East Coast. So we didn't actually mean to launch at all, but it got leaked, and you know there's nothing you can do about it.
Are you saying that the whole business, NowTowns and then Clicky, was on some guy's server at first?
NowTowns was on a different server, hosted in a data center, but when we moved out of that, we moved Clicky over to like one of Sean's friends' servers.
And then from one of Sean's friends, it went to DreamHost, where it just wasn't the right environment, and then you took it somewhere else.
Right.
Who'd you go to?
I think we went to, I think that's when we started hosting at our local data center. So,
I see.
And that's where we are right now, so...
Okay, so what did Emily Chang tell people was available on your website? What got all those people over?
All she did was post a link to us, and that's the funny thing. I mean, maybe like a one sentence description, but it was on her front page, and like, you know, people were checking that at that time period. You know, a lot of people were every day, and it caught on. I guess we had enough stuff that people wanted to have an account and test it out.
What I'm curious about is, what was the essence of the product that got people interested enough to, got Emily interested enough to link to it and got 500 people interested enough to go and register for it? Was it the offer of real time? Was it offer of specific information?
It was completely the real time. I mean, the information we were providing is pretty standard to what other analytics companies at that time had. And, It was the whole real-time idea of like who's on my website right now and what are they doing exactly right now? Can I see what's happening? That whole thing.
And I see. So if there were magic words back then, it would just be real time. It didn't matter what was said around it, as long as it's real time and your URL was given out, people would go out of curiosity.
Yeah, I would say so.
I see.
Yeah.
And out of need to. Okay, so she sent people over to your site. They started registering. As I understand it, this was 1996 when you launched it as a separate site. Excuse me, 2006. I don't know what 1996 was.
Yeah, that would be 2006.
2006. 5 months you offered it for free?
Yeah, 5 months we were in beta, and then we started charging for accounts in February, February.
I'm sorry?
Late February of 07, we started charging.
Why didn't you just do what everyone else seems to do online and say, information wants to be free, I'm going to make this available for free and make my money off advertising? I got a whole audience of webmasters.
We didn't think we could, honestly, I don't think the business could have made enough money just through ads. And it's not the way I wanted to build a business, not the way I thought it should be. So we both decided, you know, people will likely pay for this. And that was our ultimate goal too. But we offered it so cheap and such a great value that, you know, we're still pretty much the cheapest, the most affordable solution out there.
For real time.
If you look at other real time competitors, for what you get, if you factor in like all the features and, you know, the ease of use, the intuitive interface, the easy way to understand the data, you know, it's a lot of solutions out there are just really ugly and bloated. It's hard to drill down to what you want. So, I mean, there's a lot of value in that too.
Let's take the question that Joseph Jax had earlier. How much money went into building Clicky?
Well, if you counted, like, if you didn't count like the development within NowTowns, honestly, I think we bootstrapped it with a couple $1,000s. We just, you know, bought a cheap server after the initial server crashed, and didn't pay ourselves for, you know, several months.
You guys didn't even pay Sean?
No, Sean and I were partners at this time in the new venture, because the other one fizzled out, we called it quits, and then Sean and I decided to pick it up from there.
So a couple of $1,000s plus some code that you rescued out of NowTowns, plus neither one of you is taking a salary until you bring in enough money to take a salary.
Yep, completely.
And what's the breakdown between you and Sean the Animal?
Breakdown as in?
In ownership.
Ownership? We're 50-50.
50-50. All right. When I say animal, I mean that in the best way. I love reading his comments. Sean, leave a comment on my website, anywhere. Okay, so you knew from the beginning this was going to be a separate business. Did you reincorporate? Did you put anything down legally between the two of you to indicate what the ownership was?
We worked really well together in NowTowns. You know, Sean's got a great personality. Super easy to get along with, to work with, and he's his own person, you know. He's a really smart guy. He's like the ultimate dream partner in my case, so I'm lucky to have him. And we incorporated, and we just, you know, set some rules. We didn't like officially like go to lawyers and say, hey, this is our agreement, these are our agreements and stuff. You know, we just try and work together. I mean, and it's not hard. So
there's no vesting period, there was none of the stuff that they tell you to do when you're thinking of getting funding.
Not for us. I mean, we're completely 50-50 from the get-go.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, so I understand how you got the first few people from Emily Chang and maybe a couple of other people who are linking over to getclicky.com. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, where did the next round of users come from?
Well, that's a good question. Honestly, it was more of a gradual accumulation. Emily sparked it, and then people would write blog posts all the time on it, which is great. You know, always generates traffic. And, you know, we had some other big blogs write about us, like Micro Persuasion, Steve Rubell, and some other, you know, heavyweights were using Clicky, testing it out in the early time. So, I mean, just, and then we just kept in touch with our user community. You know, we were talking to them day to day, and I think just because of that bond that we created, it just kind of, people wanted to promote us, wanted to talk about us.
How'd you talk to your audience? How'd you talk to your users?
Let's see. Basically, initially in beta, it was just a blog, our blog, and it was a good forum for people to, you know, comment and us to talk back and forth. We still employ those same tactics today, but now we use like Twitter and email and phone support for our white label customers. So just as many ways as we can to just make sure people can get a hold of us. You know, just the Noah and Sean of Clicky. So. Yep.
What was the original pricing?
It was, I think it was maybe like $30 a year for pro, and maybe like 18 or something for blogger. I mean, we just had like two premium accounts, and so really affordable. I mean,
how'd you come up with that? How'd you come up with the breakdown of pro and blogger? How'd you come up with the pricing for it?
Well, I mean, our initial target market were bloggers and smaller websites, but we figured we could had enough features at the time we launched that we could break it up into a couple different plans and then still offer the free plan, which anybody can use that has a, you know, a low amount of traffic. And it was just a matter of, it was just a matter of really paying attention to our user community. It wasn't really a matter of like doing all this research and competitors and stuff. It was, we just had a really good pulse on what our users wanted and
how can you tell that 18 would be the right price and the 40 wasn't going to be the right price or the free wasn't going to be the right price? Well, actually, I understand why not free, but how could you tell that 18 was the right price?
You can never tell. I'm just pulling those numbers out of my...
Whatever it was. Guessing. So is that what you did back then, too? You said, let's just come up with the price that we feel is right based on who we think is going to use this, and we could adjust it later based on the feedback.
Yeah, and the whole adjusting later, that's kind of an iffy thing. But, you know, we went into it as an open book from the beginning saying, yeah, eventually, you know, from the beginning when you sign up as a beta tester, we're going to eventually start charging money. And so... when we did finally make that transition, there wasn't any lashback or anything. People were kind of opened it with open arms, welcomed it with open arms, and really just wanted to support us. I mean, we basically wanted to throw a price out there that people weren't feeling like, hey, I can't do this. It's just too much for my pocketbooks, but I want to support these guys and, you know, have them continue to build the product and develop it to my needs. And so we built that rapport early on by listening to our user community and building what they wanted. And I think they, at the end of the 4 or 5 months of beta, they saw that and decided to get on board with the paid plans.
Okay, so let's see where we are in the story. I understand how you launched it. I understand how you charged. Let's talk about the first kind of marketing that you did. Was it white labeling that you did first, or was it affiliate programs that you did, or did you go out and buy ads or something else?
I've always been a kind of a skeptic when it comes to like marketing, like, well, advertising, I should say, as in generating traffic. Marketing in general, we really didn't put that much money towards anything. I mean, we might have, I don't even think we bought ads early on. Like, we might have, I think maybe at minimum we might have had some Google, you know, some Google ads or something.
When campaigns. Which came first, the affiliate program or the white label?
Oh, good question. The affiliate program, I believe. Okay, yeah, okay, that's a good segue. Yeah, I would say that is a very good marketing tool, building an affiliate program.
What was your first affiliate program like?
It's the exact same to what it is now, which is You want me to describe the affiliate program?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have like a two-tier affiliate program, which means that your referrals, a referral gets paid, and then any referrals, any people who that referral generated that also refer, get you get a cut of, the referrer gets a cut of that too. So it's hard to explain. But anyways,
I think I see what you're saying. If I refer Peter B, who's watching us in the audience, I get a cut of what Peter pays you. If Peter
you
then refers Moses, I get a cut of what Moses ends up paying you. So I get to earn money twice.
Yeah, so you get a cut. You get a 20% cut of Peter's payment, and then you get a 5% cut of Moses's.
Here's
payment.
What I think is especially smart. It seems like as soon as I create an account, you guys automatically make me an affiliate. Am I right?
Completely right.
I see. And I don't need to apply for anything. I don't need to do anything. You give me that one link, and I think it's really clear everywhere on the website, and it's a short URL, not like a lot of other affiliate programs, and you say, pass this around, and you'll get a referral fee.
Definitely.
How soon did you do that?
Initially, I mean, I think we launched that, you know, in the early summer. I mean, it was like probably 3 or 4 months after. I mean, we said, you know, we just both thought this would be a great way to propagate Clicky, you know.
What percentage of your users end up sending you new users through that affiliate program?
What percentage of our users end up sending us new users through the affiliate program? That's a good question. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but you know, I'm looking through. We have affiliate. It's pretty easy for someone to actually get a referral because the affiliate badge is automatically enabled in the tracking code. A lot of people leave it visible, but we tell you how to take it off. I mean, it's just the first line of the tracking code. You can take it out, but I mean, most people just, you know, enable it. And then we also have badges that people can place on their website too. So, you know, whenever somebody comes to me saying, hey, would you like to do a link exchange or something like that? I just point them to our affiliate program and say, hey, you know, this is how we do things. And, you know, you should, if you generate enough, a lot of traffic, I mean, you should be able to make a decent amount of money through referrals. So
the code that you give people automatically puts a little chicklet, a little image back to your site. And the person who has it on their website, who feeds traffic to you, ends up getting credit and ends up getting revenue from that. That's incredibly clever, and it goes right in the footer of their webpage, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we actually have created our affiliate programs from the beginning so that their first referrers, if they're not a paid subscriber, will go towards getting them a pro account. So I mean, it's in our favor too, and in their favor. You know, if you're promoting Clicky, we want you to have like a paid account or to be using Clicky to its fullest. And so
I think that's how I found you guys. I was looking at Gary Vaynerchuk's website, I think, to prepare for my interview with him. I see a link on the bottom of his site to Clicky. I go, he doesn't have a lot of stuff on his website. Let's go see what Clicky is. Checked out the website. I understood it was a free trial. I said, all right, let's give it a shot. Let's put it up on the web. And I had it up on Mixergy, and I understood. And in my interview with Gary, he spent a little bit of time talking about how much he loves Clicky.
Cool. Right on.
What's your relationship with him? You guys paying him? Is he an advisor, an investor?
No, he's a subscriber, man.
Just a passionate fan.
He is a passionate fan. He's a passionate fan. Whenever he comes across something that he thinks is cool or he outright likes, he will champion it.
And how do you encourage that kind of passion? Because I imagine he uses a lot of stuff that he likes, but he doesn't talk about it as much as he might talk about this. Are you emailing him? Are you supporting him somehow?
No, not at all. I mean, I honestly haven't noticed him talking about us that much, but here's an example. He, like a lot of people, he checks Clicky multiple times a day. So, I mean, I guess when something's like, when you're seeing something every day, multiple times a day, I guess it's kind of hard not to talk about it.
Got you. Yes. Because it's real time, I do want to go back and check it several times a day, unlike Google Analytics, which it's going to be the same right now as it was half hour ago and as it will be in an hour. So yeah. I keep going back and checking. You guys keep sucking me back into your website. Same thing with him. And because we keep checking back on the website, it stays top of mind. I see.
Yep.
I see. And that's why he talks about it. This is why I love Sean, by the way. Sean happens to be in the audience watching us. So Ted in the audience asked the question. He said, how much do you guys pay out through the affiliate program per month? And Sean's response is, he responded before I even had a chance to ask you this question, we pay out between $500 and $1,000 a month. That seems low to me. Is that $500 and $1,000 total to all your affiliates?
Yep.
Wow, I would have thought much more. So that is that the biggest, uh-huh?
Okay, well, a couple of reasons why that number would be low would be because I think we require a $10 minimum to cash out. Also, the money initially goes towards paying for a paid plan. So we're not actually giving out money until they earn themselves a paid plan. And then on top of that, a lot of affiliates, I mean, we have a backlog of affiliates that haven't cashed out. You know, it's like those lottery tickets that no one cashes out. So, you know, they're just sitting there waiting to be cashed out. So
I see. I'm sure Sean again in the audience coming through. He's saying we have over 10,000 in pending payouts. People have to request them in order to get them. All right, I get that. So they have to go back into their account, see how much money they have, hit the button, and get the check.
Yeah.
I see. I would have thought Gary Vaynerchuk himself would have earned at least that every month, considering how much he talks about it. But now I understand differently. Now I understand how it works. By the way, what's your lifestyle now, you two of you, now that you've got a profitable business?
It's more just a mental lifestyle. I mean, we're living the same. You know, Sean and I live in the same city, you know, we're like a mile apart from each other.
You guys traveling more?
No, not at all. I mean, we went to TechCrunch 50 last year, and we'll probably go to Disrupt. We're planning on going to Disrupt this year. That's about all we travel.
I know one of you was traveling recently because when DuckDuckGo said that they weren't going to pass along data, I forget what it was. It was search data. One of you guys jumped right back to the blog and said, I'm interrupting my vacation just to respond to this critical issue.
Okay, well, for pleasure, yeah, Sean just took a vacation to
Hawaii.
That's
what I mean, yeah. So what kind of stuff do you do for pleasure? What kind of trips do you guys take now that you're profitable?
Well, Sean and I mean, we golf every once in a while. It's really kind of low-key, local type of, you know, we maybe have a cigar, go out, you know, have a cigar and a meal, you know. But it's really not, we don't really do a whole lot as far as like going, traveling to other states or locations. I mean,
okay. It's,
I guess kind of, we're not really spending all our money. We've kind of, from the beginning, like I learned a lot of lessons in Nowtowns and so did Sean, about how not to run a company and how like, instead of like spending all your money and running a bloating lifestyle to run a lean startup. And we've done that from the very beginning with Clicky. You know, we've bootstrapped it ourselves, you know, only taking pay when we can afford to from the beginning. And so, I mean, our expenses are really low and that's why our margins are so high comparatively to other companies. So,
do you guys spend a lot of money at Nowtowns?
Yeah, I mean, I had never run a company before. My business partner had never run a company before. Sean had never run a company before, even though Sean was just the developer in Nowtowns mainly. But yeah, we learned a lot of lessons by trial and error. And some
where'd you spend money and how much?
I think we were spending about $7,000 to $8,000 a month, and that's just in like labor and just other miscellaneous costs, you know. When we could have tightened it down to probably about $3,500, I would say, a month. So
where did that money come from?
Oh, it came from sales. I mean, we were generating sales initially with Nowtowns. You know, we go to a restaurant or a business, and I'd bring my laptop in and show them the product and say, hey, this is what Nowtowns can do for you. This is what your business can look like. And it's pretty cool, isn't it? And a lot of times they would just write me a check right there.
To be on Nowtowns or for you guys to build a whole separate site for them?
No, it's for them to be on Nowtowns. Yeah, Nowtowns was this centralized search engine database, you know, a lot of local businesses. So they'd see all their friends on there and they'd want to be on there too, a lot of cases. So.
Wow, I would have thought that they'd want to do it, that they'd be too cheap, that they'd say Yelp isn't charging us anything, Yellowbot isn't charging us, Google isn't charging
us. Well, see, Yelp wasn't really that big of a player back then.
I see.
So in 2004. So, but yeah.
How many affiliates, how many new people come to you guys a month from the affiliate program?
That's a good question.
I'm wondering, maybe, it seems like it's more successful than the numbers and the revenue indicates.
I would think so. Maybe Sean can pull that number up real quick.
Sean, what do you think about that? Let's see. Are you guys planning to do an A/B testing service?
Yeah, actually, Sean and I were just talking about that yesterday. He's got a couple things on his plate right now that he's developing, and one of them is a A/B testing service, which he is either going to employ in the next month or so, or he's going to wait like several months and do it.
I see. So. All right. Well, first of all, that's something that a lot of people can use. I'm glad that you guys are doing that. Second, there's a number that I think makes sense to me, that Sean's saying 25% of new users sign up through that affiliate link. And I get that. As soon as you put it on your website, the image is there. Most people don't even know how to remove the link. And if they understand that they get some revenue or at least a free account, I don't see that they have a big enough incentive to go figure out how to remove that image.
Yeah.
And of course, the pros will figure out how to do it, and the pros will have other ways to get revenue. Let's see what else we've got here in my list. The white label. At what point did you add the white label?
It actually wasn't too long after the affiliate program. I think it was... actually, webs.com approached us early on. They actually approached us early on in that summer after the wheel of 07, and decided they wanted to partner with us. And so we partnered with them. It took like a couple months at least to like do the programming for that and figure it all out. And shortly after, we said, hey, a lot of other companies like Webs, and a lot of web hosts would probably want to use this too, is what we're thinking. And so we launched a white label service, I think in the fall or early winter of 07.
How long did it take you to build that?
Sean built the majority of it through the webs.com partnership, just like figuring that whole, how he's going to do that. And then probably I would say another month on top of that to actually launch the white label service by itself.
Okay. So about 250,000 websites are using you directly, and 500,000 websites are using you through this white label program.
Well, more exclusively, I would say our Webs partnership. But yes, I guess you could be safe to say that.
Okay. Alex James Wilhelm and I were on the phone before this interview. I said, I can't find any freaking information about GetClicky and Noah Online. I got to find someone who can help me. Alex used to work for you guys. What did he do for you guys?
Right on. He was working a farm job just right out of high school. The guy's young. He plays it off like he's this older guy, but I think he's just turning 21, maybe like July.
Oh, really? So, I did think really, he was a lot older.
No,
I got to find an adult who can fill me in on the information behind this business.
Yeah, I met him, we played trumpet together in a youth symphony, and he's like three grades younger than me. And right out of high school, he was working a farm job, and I told him, hey, man, you should move up to Portland here. Just stay in my apartment, and we'll just... we'll just work on Clicky together and, hit up some web hosts, try and get them to, use our white label service type thing. So he moved up and worked with us for, a good 2 months, I would say. And then Alex is a bright guy, obviously, and he's definitely a people person too, which is a big benefit. We just, when he left for college, we kept in touch, and we had hashed out an early business plan for another venture before he left, and we were talking it over and decided we wanted to launch that business. And so he came back the following summer to work on that business.
Is this Contenture?
Contenture. That was
Contenture.
What it was.
I saw that on TechCrunch, and I see that on your Twitter account, but when I went to contenture.com, it was down. What happened?
Yeah, we shut it down last year. It did not catch on.
What was the idea behind that website?
It was a content monetization service. Basically, we created some easy plugin tools that would allow people to create microservices on their blog or website, and then charge a micro subscription for these microservices. And microservice, when I say that, I mean like disabling ads for the micro subscribers, or some type of premium content or something. But we created this service that automatically was a payment platform that collected those micro subscriptions and then divvied them out to the different websites that used our service based on the amount of traffic they got.
I get that idea, because I may not want to spend money on the New York Times, and I may not want to spend money for access to CNN, and I may not want to spend money for access to thenextweb.com, because I could live without those websites. But if you give me one membership that gives me access to all of those sites, to extra information on all those sites, to no advertising on all those sites, I might be more likely to do it. It seems like a good idea. Why didn't it work?
Yeah, initially we didn't launch with that type of capability. We launched more on a micro scale. We wanted like bloggers, smaller bloggers, and people and sites to use our web, to use our service, and basically enable those microservices. And we would collect micro subs. People could say, "Hey, I want to go premium with this blog," and pay like 50 cents a month or something like that. And through our service, they we'd collect those subscriptions and then pay them out to the different websites. But it didn't catch on because those sites weren't willing to pay for content or to charge to like wall off part of their content. Or we didn't ask them to wall off part of their content, but we asked them to add premium content. They weren't willing to go the payment route, the micro subscription route. So it just didn't catch on. But there have been a lot of clones of Contenture since then. I mean, it got a lot of hype early on. It's like everyone was talking about it, we decided to shut it down. It just wasn't doing anything.
Okay, in the beginning of the program, I promised people that we talk about marketing, and we talked about affiliate programs, okay. We talked about white label, we talked about some networking with bloggers. Is there anything else that has worked well for you guys as far as marketing?
Well, Twitter completely. Sean administrates the Twitter account, and we're always talking to people every day on Twitter. It's great. It's great for another, the real time notifications.
How's Twitter bringing you new customers?
We monitor Twitter conversations and then try and respond to people who are potentially looking at different analytics solutions, that type of thing.
I see. I'm pissed at Chartbeat because it costs too much, I might get a direct message from you guys or an at message from you guys saying, "Hey, do you want to try out? Get clicky."
Yeah, we actually have a Twitter keyword monitoring feature in our service, and it's very useful for especially businesses who want to monitor conversations around a keyword and then participate in those conversations. And so we track Chartbeat and web analytics, those types of keywords, and so we know what people are talking about all the time on those conversations, and we can easily jump in and out of them.
Okay, so here's what else I've seen that that seems to work for you guys: giving out data. So when the iPad comes out, you guys come out with data that says, here's the day of the week that most people use their iPad. Sunday is the iPad day for people. Mm-hmm. If Android comes out with lots of different phones, you come out with a report that shows what the breakdown is in web usage for all those phones.
Yep.
How helpful has that been?
Oh, completely. I mean, it's gotten us quite a few big articles just because we're the first to market as far as tracking those new devices or platforms. I think the first one was like Chrome. When Chrome first launched, like that day we were just like, bam, gotta track it. And Sean had it up and running that day, and so we were already generating numbers. And then TechCrunch and other blogs just had to pick it up because they wanted to report, be the first to report, you know, some type of data.
So it's not a PR company. It's Sean who's doing that.
Yep.
Sean, in the comments, can you tell me honestly if you have 4 or 6 arms? I want to find out. How many people in the company? Is it just you and Sean?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Anything else about marketing that we should talk about? Anything else that works for you guys?
Let's see here. Nope. You know, I mean, just a lot of guerrilla marketing. I mean, you know, you don't really have to
What kind of guerrilla marketing do you do?
Let's see. I mean, anytime I paid for something, I haven't gotten the value out of it. So whether it's like a press release, an official press release, definitely haven't gotten value out of that. Or, you know, paying for ads, usually I don't really generate the traffic. But as far as guerrilla marketing goes, I mean, it's just trying to I think marketing is rather than like pushing yourself out there onto people, if you do things like who you are is more of a marketing tool than who you want to talk to. Because our user community will just, you know, pimp us out because we're always there for them. Let's see here. I guess I'm kind of stuck here, but I mean, I'm just trying to say that, you know, if you keep innovating, that in itself will keep you on top, and you won't have to do as much marketing because you don't really need to talk about yourself if you're showing people that you are who you profess to be, you know? If you're always coming out with cutting edge new features and cutting edge technology, and you're always communicating with your community, then they're going to talk about you. You're not going to need to talk about you.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk about the product. That's the other thing that I promised people we'd be talking about. User interface is beautiful. How did you develop it?
Again, credit for that has to go to Sean. I mean, he and I aren't graphic designers, but, you know, Clicky isn't a graphic design central type service. You know, it's just tries to be clean and relevant and
do you do any,
you know,
testing? Do you bring people in? Do you do your own A/B testing?
User community. It's you know, we'll release something and then we'll get an instant feedback, you know, 20, 30 comments in a blog post that we announce it with, and, you know, we know if we're going in the right direction or not.
Do you have an example of how user feedback has shaped the product?
You can go to any blog post pretty much that we've posted. There's probably like 50 or 60 of them right now, maybe 100, and you can check the comments and you can see like what people are saying. I mean, that's all we've done.
Okay, I've got an example of that, a small example, but it's the latest one. You guys blogged how you give customer how you respond to customer feedback via email, and you said, mm-hmm. basically, I think it was, you have the email route go from the support email to both of your email accounts, and then you tag it and so on. And people just hammered you and said, are you guys crazy? Why don't you create a Google Apps account and then you won't have to do this whole routing thing? And you responded, I think, within a few hours saying, all right, we get the feedback. We'll try that.
Yeah, when multiple people keep, you know, saying something, I mean, you just kind of need to listen. You should listen. So it's great that we have a user community that won't sit back and, you know, just be quiet. So kudos to everyone out there who's helped us, you know, in that respect. So,
Jordy, by the way, in the audience, wants to know if you're thinking of hiring a third person. I wonder if Jordy means himself.
I mean, that's a good question. We've always talked about it. It's just kind of one of those initial hassles that we don't really want to deal with, just because Sean and I would be looking for the right type of person, and it's just really hard to find that person. And when you're busy all the time, it's really hard to devote time to like searching out people and hiring and, you know, potentially researching them out. And so I don't know.
What's your growth plan then?
our growth plan. Last time Sean and I talked, I mean, it's just basically to keep doing what we're doing, keeping it small, keeping it lean, releasing new features often. And I wouldn't say that we'd be hiring anyone anytime soon, but you never know. We did have a developer for a summer, and he built like the mobile interface for like the iPhone and Android devices and other mobile devices for Vue and Clicky. And then he also helped us out with some infrastructure data center issues we were having. And so, but he left on his own accord to move to a different country. So, I mean, probably would have kept him around quite a bit longer, but this is the way things have been. So yeah, we've only had one other employee for a summer. That's as far as developing.
How do you compete with Google?
I guess we do. How do we compete with Google?
I don't mean today. I mean today. I understand that you've got some advantages over them. That you're offering real time. They don't really offer real time. They kind of there's a way to get close to real time data from them, but it's not really real time.
Right.
But how do you keep competing with them as they grow and add new features and acquire other companies?
Well, they're actually pretty slow to do that in the analytics arena. I mean, we're doing a lot more than they're doing. It's at least that people can see. I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, but Google's a big company and everything, but I mean, the market's still really big. I mean, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as being really saturated. You know, there's a lot of analytics services out there, or you can look at it as being, you know, there's a lot of opportunities because, you know, lots of new websites are being created every day. But so I don't know. It's we've kind of found our niche and we've just kind of grown from there. We have a little chart on our homepage how we stack ourselves up against Google and other competitors. We just point out the features that we do and they don't, or we do, you know. In the long term, I guess, who knows what Google's going to do? I mean, right now they're just pretty much free service, so, and they're not real time, so we just have advantages over them right now, you know, for the right type of market, so.
Andrew SG is giving you advice. He's saying scare everyone and let them and tell them that Google can use analytics to penalize search rankings. Boom, everybody switches to Clicky.
Right, nice. that's some good advice there.
What about I think Mixpanel is backed by Y Combinator. I'm imagining that because I keep seeing them on Hacker News a lot. What about Chartbeat? How are you competing against these leaner, faster to improve sites?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. The market's always changing. They have different purposes right now. Chartbeat, they charge like $10 a month for any amount of page view traffic. I mean, that's great that they can do that. I mean, they're backed by a venture capital company, you know, BetaWorks, and so that's great that they can do that. But I mean, they don't have any like history, you can't check your history. It's just like a live feed. And so.
Oh, really? I can't use Chartbeat to find out what my traffic was like last month?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, not to my knowledge anyways.
No, let's stick on this for a minute, because one of the reasons that we set up this interview was I read Mark Suster's blog. Mark Suster is a venture capitalist who has a good handle on what's going on in this space. He was talking about Chartbeat and how much he loved it and how it let him know what was going on in real time. And I said, hey, Mark, you missed out on Clicky. And I emailed you and I said, I hate when people miss out on a company like yours just because you're not part of the whole funded ecosystem. But we have to acknowledge that there is this little club of companies that get venture-backed by they're all friends of each other who invest in these companies and show these companies off to each other and talk about what's going on there. And you're out of the club. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel like you're out of the club and so you're missing out?
Yeah, I mean, if we did get venture funding, I mean, I can't imagine, I mean, I'd no idea. It would just be a totally different direction. And, It's not something that we've wanted to do or needed to do. I mean, we're doing fine as we are, and I don't know if we took on all this extra funding and hired all these extra people if I just don't know what would happen, and I don't feel it's necessary right now. Maybe in the future, though. Who knows?
But yeah. Let's see what else we've got here on the list. Expenses. Earlier, when I said that your expenses were over $200,000 a year, Andrew SG in the audience said, where does the money go? What kind of expenses do you guys have in the business?
Well, we are paying for our data center, which is, you know, about over $4,000 a month, because we have a lot of servers that we have built and are hosting ourselves. So we're always buying new servers each month, basically, probably an average of 2 servers each month. We have probably like 40 servers now in the data center, something like that. And then also, you know, we pay for other services like our CDN, Content Delivery Network. You know, we have a little bit of payroll, not that much, but a lot of it just goes into equipment and data center costs, I would say.
So $200,000 is data center, it's servers, it's your salary, it's Sean's salary, and maybe it's coffee for the office.
Yeah, I mean, all the other expenses that go into running a business, you know, you've got accounting and you know, a lot of other miscellaneous things that you
what
can
about
look
the affiliate pro- well, I guess the affiliate program, would that be included in the $200,000?
It actually is not, because it comes directly. Let's see here. Actually, it's not. No, it's not included in the $200,000. I would say. It's, okay. I think we pay it out of our PayPal account, actually, but so it never actually goes to our ledger. But.
And you're sitting in what looks like an office. Do you guys have an office?
It's an apartment that the living room has 3 glass desks in it, and
And do you live out of the office too?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is my place, Sean's place is like a mile away. It's not too far, but he'll come over here every once in a while, and we'll work together at the office.
Otherwise, he'll work out of his place. Today, he's at his place?
Yep.
Cool. Can you turn the camera around? Can we see the place where you're working?
All right.
Oh, wow. This really is just an apartment. 3 desks.
Yeah, and then we got outside.
Oh, cool.
Whoa. Sorry about that.
Did you say you were in Portland?
Yep.
Portland looks beautiful right now.
Yeah, it is nice outside.
Let's see. I got a bunch of questions before I started the interview. Let's see if I hit on all of them. How'd you get the marketing right? Did you partner with a lot of companies? How did you reach out to the companies that you partnered with? I understand that webs.com reached out to you, but after that you said you went out and you looked for other partners. How'd you find them?
When Alex was here, we're basically hitting up all the different web hosts for our white label service. And we did not get hardly any response back as far as like any deals that actually really happened, maybe one or two. And I mean, we'd send proposals out to like Ning and other like, you know, software companies that could use an analytics component. And we'd write out these proposals saying, hey, this is how you guys can make money by adding a value added service, you know. And we just didn't get any real bites. You know, we tried, but, so, I mean, I guess the partners have just kind of happened on their own. It's like we haven't really solicited that many partners. They just kind of find us through searching on Google if it's for our white label service or referrals.
Where does most of the revenue come from? Is it from the direct service that you guys offer or from the white label?
It's definitely from the direct service is the majority, but... our white label is also a decent chunk of revenue. I think it's probably like 20% of our revenue or something, maybe more.
Here's something interesting. Before the interview, I got a question about B2B and virality. There's no viral aspect to B2B businesses, but now we see that there is. because businesses want to earn revenue, and you've added the ability for them to earn revenue as soon as they sign up, and you've also added a viral component by putting your little image on their website.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaking clever. I love it.
It's nice. It's really nice. I mean, and then I think Google definitely gives us a good page rank of, I think we're at 8 out of 10.
That's right, because all of those chicklets are linking back to you.
Yeah, if you look at those types of stats, like the Alexas and the Competes and the Google Page Ranks, we were definitely doing pretty well because of those chicklets. A lot of people are linking to us, so it's out of the nature of our service.
Well, cool. Well, I'm glad I got to meet you. It's great to hear the story.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this interview. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for giving me all this great stats. Thanks for coming here and doing an interview. I know that you don't do many interviews, so I'm especially glad that you came here and did this one.
No problem, Andrew. Appreciate it.
And Sean, thanks for all the feedback in the chat room. Thank you guys for watching. Bye.
Take care.